Thank you, Nia. Great song. You sang it well. I'm a little concerned about this morning. During Sunday school, I had Brother Graham teach for me, and I had already put my Bible over here, and so I saw a white Bible sitting on the counter over there in the chapel. I picked it up, and I went and sat down, and I looked at it. It was a Precious Moments Bible. That was the first problem. And then I looked inside. It was a different version, and I thought, oh, boy, I'm in big trouble. So we're hoping the Lord will bless anyway. I don't know. A little concerned. Let's pray. Lord, we do thank you that you love us and care for us. We thank you, Lord, that for the Christian, the best is yet to come. And Lord, we thank you for Mia's song and the encouragement of this to our hearts. Help us, Lord, have a song in our heart as we are filled with the Spirit of God. We do pray for our teens and our pastor this morning as they are ministering in Florida. We pray that you would just have your hand upon their ministry and use them. May you use this even to call some of these young people to full-time Christian service. May there be some young men that are challenged to become preachers of the gospel, to be missionaries, some young ladies who are called to serve you and to seek a husband who is in full-time Christian service. May you bless them and anoint their work. Be with Brother Bob and Lindsay as they head up that task. And just bless their week, we pray. We do ask you, Lord, to bless our time together. Lord, we'll only be able to do this next hour one time. Our opportunity to look at your word will come right now. And Lord, I am looking to you for strength, for wisdom, for a heart after your own heart. That the word of God would be clear, would be helpful, would change us, I pray. Lord, speak to hearts. Give me clarity of thought, I ask, in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm holding in my hand 17 pages of phobias that people have. 17 pages. Now, some of them are pretty common, things you'd be familiar with. One of them, the first one is something I have. It's called claustrophobia. Yes, fear of tight spaces. Well, I don't like wrestling or anything. Hydrophobia. You know what hydrophobia is? Fear of water. Some people won't get baptized because they have hydrophobia. Arachnophobia. Fear of spiders. Yes, I probably have that one. Some of these, though, are a little amazing. A lot of folks I visit have this one. It's called ecclesiophobia. Fear of church. I had this one when I was in college. It's, if I can say it, it's Hellenologiophobia. It's the fear of Greek terms. My teacher thought I had that too, I think. This one, though, shocks me. I find this hard to believe that people actually have this fear. It is pelidophobia, a fear of bald people. That really is. It's right here, first page of the list. I mean, now, reading through this list can be quite humorous. But the simple matter of fact is, fear for many people is a reality. And they are controlled by their fears. And their fear is crippling them. And they cannot do or be what they ought to be. I was visiting a lady in the hospital. And she was about to have surgery the next day. And she said, I cannot conquer my fear. I am worried, and I cannot have victory over it. Does God want Christians to live a fearful life? Does he want us to have fear? I do not think so. In fact, I have entitled the message, Be Not Afraid. And I want to speak to you this morning about overcoming fear in your life. Now, I think to understand that, the first thing we need to know is what causes fear. What causes fear in your life? Well, I think many of our fears are really things that don't exist. They are made up in our imagination. We conjure them up in our thinking. They're not real, and yet our fear of them is very real. I remember not too long ago, driving home, I don't remember if it was for lunch or at the end of the day, and there was a fire truck in front of me. And he had his lights on. The truck had the lights on. It was going down the road toward my house. And I began to think, I wonder. He was going down toward Daniel Boone, toward my house. I thought, I wonder if they're going to my house. Well, this could be bad. And then he turned left on Shadden. And I said, oh. Thankfully, he did not turn right on Oglewood. It's amazing, though, how your mind works, isn't it? There have been times I've been out and I hear a siren. And I think, now, where is my wife? Where are my daughters? Could they be in an accident somewhere? It's amazing how our mind works. And if you were to stop and be honest about it, folks, probably most of the things we worry about and are fearful about are really imaginations. They never happen. Unfortunately, many of the things that cause fear in our life are very real. We've been caught in a terrible storm. We used to have a huge oak tree. When we built our house, I don't guess Jackie's here today. Jackie Hodges built our house, goodness, almost 25 years ago. There's a huge oak tree right by our bedroom. We noticed as the years went by that that oak tree began to lean toward our house, over our bedroom. And we looked the other side and it looked kind of diseased and we thought, this is not good. Every time we'd go to bed at night and there was a terrible storm, the thunder's crashing, the lightning, and the wind is blowing. I wonder if it's going to be tonight. Now, thankfully, that tree is no longer there. It did fall. We were sitting in our house. Was that a Sunday afternoon, I think? A Wednesday afternoon? And we're sitting in the living room, and we heard this horrendous crash. And the house got dark, and this tree had fallen in our front yard. And it just clipped Hannah's bedroom. Just didn't do a whole lot of damage, thankfully. So, hallelujah, when it storms now, I don't have to worry about that crazy tree. You ever almost been in a car accident? You've been in a car accident. And you experience the fear. Your knees, you know, you just, someone almost hits you, you know, your knees. You know. You get a phone call, or you go to the doctor, and he says, you have cancer. And what immediately springs up in your heart? Fear. You go to work, and your boss says, oh, by the way, today will be your last day. We no longer need you. How am I going to pay my bills? How am I going to support my family? And your heart is filled with fear. You have been relying on your retirement that you received when you retired to pay for all of your coming years, and you invested it in stocks, and you find out that your retirement is no longer in existence. Many things in life cause us to have fear. What are the consequences of fear? I think we get the idea, you know what, it's okay to worry. I mean, it's natural to worry. It's natural to have fear. It doesn't really matter. It doesn't really hurt anything. That is not true. The consequences of fear, folks, are very great. Now, I'm not a doctor. I'm not a psychologist, thank the Lord. In my study, I have seen that fear, number one, affects your mind. If you're in the ministry, you get to deal with people who are often in despair and are struggling. And many of the times, it's because their mind has been affected by their worries and their minds have run amok. Go back to my first illustration about the siren. I was working in my shop one day and I heard these sirens and my mind just took off. And I could see my wife in this accident. I mean, I could just see the van all crushed, and it was just terrible. I could just see it, and I could hear the sirens and the ambulance coming and taking her to the hospital. I even saw myself standing by my wife's hospital bed, and it was just terrible. I thought, wait a minute, that's not true. Your mind can play all kinds of tricks. But by the way, 2 Timothy 1:7 says, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." A mind that is self-controlled, that is quiet, it's calm. Folks, if you allow fear and worry to control you, it will affect your thinking. I remember a young man, and we are going to get to the Bible here in a minute, okay? I remember a young man years ago, Brother Graham would know him. He was very active in the youth group when I came. His parents did not come to church, but he came by himself. But over time, as I left the youth pastor, and I began to work with the college ministry. I began to work with this young man, and he was just overcome by fear in his life. He couldn't come to church. He He couldn't be around crowds of people. He lost his job. He just basically stayed home all the time. And fear controlled him. And then, of course, after the fear came the depression. And he had to go on medication for his depression. I don't know what has ever happened to the young man. But worry and fear, folks, will affect your mind. Not only that, but it will actually affect your body. What happens when you get afraid? Well, your adrenaline kicks in, and your heart begins to beat faster. You begin to breathe faster. This is like when that person almost hit you, you know, or when you hydroplaned last week in that heavy rain, you know. And your body is just alert, and your muscles are energized, but you don't do anything. I read one man who said that when we do this, when we are worried and fearful, and our body gets all revved up and all that adrenaline is flowing, it's like an engine that you get out in your car and you just take the accelerator and you sit in your driveway and you just put it to the floor. And your car, you may have one with a tachometer and has red lines and yellow lines. There's a reason for those, by the way. If you redline that engine long enough, what's going to happen? It's going to blow up. And if you allow worry and fear to rule your life, you're allowing that adrenaline to be pumped into your body and you're just going like this all the time and your body is not doing anything. And before long, it's going to cause all kinds of trouble. In fact, the same man said that often worry and fear can cause all kinds of gastrointestinal problems, can cause sleep disorders, can cause endocrine dysfunctions. Isn't that sound? You think I know what I'm talking about. I actually looked that up. It's the glands that control your moods, growth, and metabolism. I knew someone was going to ask me that. It affects your cardiac. It causes a problem with your heart. I mean, folks, worry and stress will destroy you physically if you don't deal with it in the right way. Now, I want you to turn to Revelation chapter 21. And in my study, I found this, and first time I read this, I thought, what in the world? Revelation 21 and verse 8. Not only does worry and fear affect your mind and your body, but it will actually affect your soul. Revelation 21:8. I have read this verse many times, but did not notice the first thing that would keep a person from going to heaven. Notice, but the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Well, you can say, Gary, I can see murderers going to hell. I mean, I understand that. Did you realize that fear, but the fearful, that fear can keep a person from going to heaven? I looked at that, and at the time I was in Florida and talking to my son-in-law, Joe, and I said, Joe, what do you think about that? How would fear keep someone from being saved? There are people that sit in our congregation from time to time, I'm sure, that God's Holy Spirit convicts them and said, you are lost and you need to be saved. And they are afraid about what people will say. And because of that fear, they will not get saved. Someday they will die and go to hell. I have talked to people and they say, well, boy, when I get my life straightened out, then I'm going to get saved. Well, that's backwards. You don't say, when I get better, I'm going to go to the doctor. But they're afraid that they'll come and make a profession of faith and they'll get saved, but it won't fix their problems. It won't give them victory over sin. It may not work. There are people who are fearful. Well, can he really save me? Will the blood of Christ really cleanse me from all sin? Will it save my soul for all eternity? And they are fearful. They are afraid that they will fail, that the grace of God will fail, that it won't be enough. And because of it, they don't get saved. Not only can fear affect your mind and your body and your soul, but it can affect your service for God. You say, you know, I would surrender myself to serve the Lord, but if I do, I'm afraid he's going to, and this is the classic one, he's going to do what? What's the classic thing we're afraid of? He'll send me to?
Brazil.
Not Brazil. Brazil's not such a bad place. The classic line I always heard, well, if I do this, he's going to send me to the jungles of Africa. Do you realize there are people that are believers, they are children of God. And when I said something about neighborhood, or about VBS, it's going to take me years to get over saying neighborhood Bible time. And that there's something you can do, they said, oh, I can't do it, I'm afraid. There are people that ought to be singing in the choir. You know why they don't? I'm afraid. What if I make a mistake? Right now, we need teachers in the second grade department. And there are people in our congregation, and you know that God has called you to teach a class and to serve him, and you won't because you are, what if I'm not a good teacher? What if they don't like me? You know you should be knocking on doors and giving the gospel to people, but you're afraid, what if they ask me a question I don't know the answer to? What if they slam the door in my face? What if their dog bites me? Could happen. I've only been bitten one time, but I was quick enough that it was a chow. It was a crazy scene. I may not finish the message, but this is a good story. I was visiting when I was the primary superintendent. That was the longest year of my life. Wow. Ever try to visit a first grader? And they run, you know? Great man. And I went, and there was a gate and a fence around this house, and I stepped my foot in, and there's a chow in there, and I thought, well, you know, I'll probably be all right. Not been bitten yet. So I put my foot in the gate, and he grabbed onto my calf. Fortunately, I have very well-developed calves. And I jerked my leg out, and I'm standing. So I said, I want to visit. So I start honking my horn. And the lady said, don't worry, that dog won't bite you. Yeah, she had breath. Appreciate that. Simple matter of fact is, we don't serve God because we are afraid. There is a great illustration in the Word of God about a man named Moses. God came to Moses and said, Moses, I want you to go down to Egypt and deliver my people. And he said, who, me? Are you kidding? I can't speak. He was afraid. There's a parable in the New Testament about the master who had three servants, and he gave them talents. Now, of course, that was money in that day, but it's a great parallel for us because God has given all of us abilities or talents to serve him. And he said, all right, guys, I'm going to be gone, and I'm going to give you five talents, you two and you one, and I want you to invest them while I'm gone. And you remember the story, don't you? The man, when the master came back, and by the way, the Lord is coming back, there will be a time of accounting. And the man who had five talents said, I've got 10. I've invested them. I've been faithful. He said, well done, thou good and faithful servant. The man who had two said, I've invested them faithfully. I now have 4. He said, well done, thou good and faithful servant. The man who had 1 said, I hid my talent. And he said in verse 25 of chapter Matthew 25, and I was afraid. And went and hid my talent in the earth. I wonder how many members of Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church are doing nothing for God because they're afraid. I was visiting this week, Malarkey's neighbor, man who visited with us, and he has a fainting goat. And I said, I like a goat out there. He said, oh, yeah, it's a fainting goat, a miniature fainting goat. And for those that are not familiar with it, you're supposed to be able to scare these animals, and they just lock up. And if they say the more immature ones, they just fall over and look like they're dead. They faint. I just wanted so badly to go up on that goat and say, boom, just to see. You've been proud of me. I showed real self-control. But the fear paralyzes the animal. They can't even move. I thought, what an illustration of so many believers. That we are afraid of failure. We're afraid of what people will say. We're afraid of the cost of serving the Lord. We're afraid of the price of serving God, and so we won't do anything. I wonder how many Christians will stand before the Lord at the judgment seat of Christ and say, God, I would have served you, but I was just afraid. I was afraid. Well, if fear is that detrimental, if it can affect your mind and your body, even the destiny of your soul and your service, then obviously we need to find a cure for fear. What is the cure for fear. I want you to turn this morning to several passages. Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4. All of these are familiar stories, but they illustrate the point very clearly. Mark chapter 4. As you know, many of the disciples were professional fishermen, and they were ministering with the Lord, and he said, I want you to go and cross the Sea of Galilee. And he was in the ship with them at this point, and he was asleep. And the storm came up. The wind was blowing. The waves were lashing the ship. Now, these were professional, not seamen, but sailors. We'll get that after a while. And here they are, and they are scared to death, and it looks really bad. And if you know the story, they cried out to God and the Lord Jesus Christ, and he got up, and he said, peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And I want you to notice verse 40, and he said unto them, why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no, what's the last word? Faith. What was he saying? If you men had faith, you would not have fear. Folks, the simple matter of fact is, faith and fear cannot coexist. If your life is ruled by fear and worry, the problem is not your problem, the problem is your faith. Now, Mark chapter 5, another story about a man named Jairus. Jairus had a daughter who was very sick and in fact was dying, and Jairus went to the Lord to get the Lord to come and to heal his daughter. Now, on the way, as you remember in the story, a woman with an issue of blood touched the Lord Jesus Christ, and he stopped and he dealt with her. And as soon as he was done dealing with her, a messenger came from Jairus' home and said, don't bother me anymore. Your daughter has died. Now, obviously, in a situation like that, a parent is going to be filled with fear and worry and concern. And the Lord Jesus Christ addresses him in verse 36 of this passage. And he says, as soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he saith unto the ruler of the synagogue, be not afraid, only believe. Only believe. He said, look, this is a terrible problem in your life. They said your daughter has died, but look, don't be fearful. Instead, believe. Fear and faith cannot coexist. Folks, when a storm comes in your life, when trouble comes, sickness and trouble, don't be afraid. Have faith. Have faith. One more very quickly. Acts chapter 27. Acts chapter 27. Now, pastor preaches till 12 o'clock, so I've got lots of time. This is great. Acts 27. The scenario is Paul is on a ship going to Rome, where he will stand trial. They are in the midst of the Mediterranean. A huge storm comes up. I love the name of this storm. You know what it is? Euroclydon. Isn't that a great name? Euroclydon. Here they are on the ship. They've undergirded the ship. They've tied ropes and things around the ship to try to strengthen this wooden vessel so it can stand up to the beating of the waves and the wind. They have thrown all the freight overboard, the grain and everything, and the storm is unrelenting, and it's beating upon the ship, and it looks like they're all going to die, and things really look bad. And then that night, the Lord comes to him in verse 23, and it says, for there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, fear not, Paul. Thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given unto thee all them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer. Why? For I believe God. What was it in Paul's life that kept him from fearing the storm? Faith. Faith. Now, we need to be careful, by the way, in the source of our faith. Oh, I'm going through a huge storm. I'm going to have faith in myself. I have strong character. I'm going to make it through. Is that what the Lord said to those fishermen? His disciples? No. They had already done all they could. Is that what he was saying to Jairus? Jairus, have faith in your intellect. Have faith in your wise decisions. Have faith in your character. I'm sure he had already gone to all the doctors and spent great deals of money to try to get his daughter cured. Was he saying to Paul, Paul, it's going to be okay. Have faith in all these sailors on the ship and their ability. No. Where was their faith to be placed? Well, obviously, in the God who controlled the wind. In the God who controlled the waves. In the God who made the body. Oh, there's some great verses about this. I just had to pick a few because we'd be here all day. But the psalmist David said in Psalm 56:3, what time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. He said in Psalm 56:11, in God I have put my trust. I will not be afraid what man can do unto me. In Psalm 112:7, he says, he shall not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. You would not believe it. If you have some Bible computer software, I would challenge you to search the word fear and fearful and afraid in the Bible. There, I had two or three pages of verses. I'm just going to give you a couple of them. The promises of God about fear, there are multitudes of them, and they kind of seem to fall into two categories. Some are promises because of God's presence. Let me give those to you. Psalm 23:4, you know, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil. Why? No fear, because thou art with me. What a great truth. Believer, do you realize that as a child of God, you are indwelt by the Spirit of God? He will not leave you. He cannot leave you. He is always there. Always there. Even in the valley of the shadow of death. Isaiah 43:5 says, the Lord said, fear not, for I am with thee. Joshua 1:9, have not I commanded thee, be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. Why? For the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Often as I visit the hospital and deal with folks who have great trials, I love to quote where the Lord said, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. You say, oh, but I don't feel him. Doesn't mean he's not there. Job, when he went through his great trial, oh, that I might find him, that I might come before his presence. Did God know what was going on in Job's life? Yes. Had God left Job? No. And folks, just because you're in the middle of a trial, a difficult time, it doesn't mean that God has forsaken you. God's got to work in your life. He's working to change you, to make you what you ought to be. And then there are promises in God's word that deal with his sufficient power. Turn to Deuteronomy chapter 31. Deuteronomy, Exodus. That's the first three books of the Bible put together. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy 31. Deuteronomy 31. Well, these are great verses. Moses is giving the second law here. He's giving commands to the children of Israel as they're to go into the land. And he says in verse 6 of Deuteronomy 31, be strong and of a good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them. Why? For the Lord thy God, he it is that doth go with thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. And then he speaks to Joshua and said unto him in the sight of Israel, be strong and of a good courage, for thou must go with his people into the land which the Lord has sworn unto their fathers to give thee them, and thou shalt cause them to inherit. And the Lord, he it is that doth go with thee, before thee. He will be with thee. He will not fail thee. Wow, you ought to memorize that verse. Neither forsake thee, fear not, neither be dismayed. God is there and he's not going to fail you. What a great verse. 1 Chronicles 28:20, David says to Solomon his son, be strong and of a good courage and fear not, neither be dismayed, for the Lord God, even my God, will be with thee. He will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Can I give you a couple more? These are great verses. Psalm 118:6, the Lord is on my side. I will not fear what man can do unto me. Hey, if the Lord's on your side, you're in pretty good shape. Isaiah 41:10, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Turn to Psalm 46. Psalm 46, quickly. Psalm 46. Psalm 46. And verse 1. Psalm 46, 1. Here's the great truth. God is our refuge. He's the high tower we can run into, the safe place and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will we not fear, though the earth be removed and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. That's pretty bad. He said, hey, we're not going to be afraid. We're going to run to the refuge. We're going to run to the one who can give us strength. Isaiah 43, 1 and 2 says, but now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name, thou art mine. When thou passest through the waters, I'll be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. Hebrews 13, 5 and 6. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as he has said, for he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say, can you say this? The Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. By the way, to have a strong faith that has victory in the storm, you must have a right view of God. It's interesting to me in that first situation I gave you with the disciples in the boat and Jesus was asleep, they had a wrong view of God, didn't they? How do you know that? They said, carest thou not that we perish? What were they saying? Lord, we're about to die, our ship's about to go under, and you don't care. Let me give you some truths real quickly. God is good all the time. God is always good. God is always good. God loves you with an everlasting love. God is able to help you. You say, oh, but if you knew my situation. No, you've got a wrong view of God. Don't you think the God who made this world can take care of your little situation? Now, I'm not trying to say that your problem is not big. I'm just saying God's a whole lot bigger than your problem. God always keeps his word. God always keeps his word. Now, let me ask you in conclusion. Are you filled with faith or fear? Remember, they cannot coexist. There may be people here today whose fear is keeping you from becoming a child of God. You say, oh, I've been going to this church for all these years. Everybody thinks I'm saved, and I know I'm not, but I don't want people to say anything about me. Or this church is so big, it would take me 5 years to walk from the back of that church to the front. That's why you got to sit in the front, see? It's easier to go forward. You say, I'm sitting right in the middle of the aisle, and boy, I just don't want to go. In the middle of the pew, not in the aisle, I guess. If you're in the middle of the aisle, you get run over. And you say, I need to be saved, but I'm afraid. What if God doesn't save me? What if his grace is not sufficient? What if it doesn't work? Well, by the way, I've got good news for you. One of my favorite verses. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord might be saved. Aren't you glad it doesn't say that? For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's God's word. God keeps his word. Don't let fear keep you from going to heaven. You may be a believer here today, and yet mentally and physically, you are struggling. And you are just being overwhelmed by fear and worry about your situation. Let me ask you a question. Have you exhausted God's store of grace? We got to go to Florida last week and spend some time with our daughter and got to see the oil-less ocean. It was neat. No oil down in Fort Myers, at least in the ocean. You know, I know you don't want to drink salt water, so it's not a great illustration, but you're thirsty and you go and say it was clear water and you've got the whole ocean, you take four or five drinks and if I'm not drinking anymore, I may run out. How silly. I mean, you could drink 100 gallons a day and it would never run out. And yet we look at God and we say, well, maybe God's not enough this time. Maybe I ought to go see a psychologist and get some pills. This book is sufficient for. The answer is here. The answer is here. Christianity, unfortunately, has gotten in this mindset that the Bible's not enough, that God is not enough. You need a psychologist. You need a psychotherapist. You need shock treatment. That may help some of you, but what you need is God. And a right view of God, a God who can help you with your situation, a God who is powerful enough to heal your body, to heal your family, to meet your financial needs. Finally, you may be here as a believer and doing nothing for God because you're afraid. What if I fail? By the way, the only people who don't fail are those who do nothing. They also have no reward, by the way. And you say, God is calling me to teach a class or work on a bus route or be a bus driver, or sing in the choir, or be an usher, or work in the nursery, or whatever, or help in Bible school. But I'm afraid that I will fail. If God is calling you to it, you think he's going to hang you out to dry? You think he's going to say, all right, Nathan, I want you to go out and do this, buddy. And then you get out there and you step out by faith, and God said, ha ha, fooled you. Down you go. You wouldn't do that to your kids, at least most of you wouldn't. God's not going to do that. If God calls us to something, his calling is his enabling. Don't let fear keep you from serving God. Friends, fear and faith cannot coexist. The answer to your fear is faith in God. It's that simple. Do not justify your fear and your worry. It is wrong. It is sin. God said, don't worry. Don't worry, but pray. Don't let it control you. Don't let it destroy your life. Turn to God. Get a right view of God. Be a person of faith. By the way, how do you get to heaven? By faith. How do you have your problems solved? How do you get through them? By faith. How do you serve God? By faith. Is it any wonder four times in the Bible it says the just shall walk by faith? Faith is the key, folks. To having victory over your fear. Let's pray. Lord, pray you guide in this time now as we have a short invitation. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. I wonder if tonight or this morning if God has spoken to you specifically about an area of fear in your life. It may be an area of fear that is keeping you from salvation. You're afraid of what people might think. Afraid it won't work. Afraid you're not strong enough. I wonder if this morning if there's one who would say, Gary, boy, that's me. I am not saved. I am not sure of heaven, and I know it. But today, I would like to become a child of God. Today, by faith, I would like to accept Christ as my personal Savior. I would love to pray for you, encourage you in the Lord. If that's true of you this morning, would you just lift your hand for just a moment, say, I need to be saved. I need to really be born again. Just slip it up, hold it for a moment, and put it back down. Is there one like that? Very quickly. We won't tarry long. Let me speak to believers today. Are you struggling with fear and worry and doubt? Maybe it's keeping you from serving God. Maybe it's keeping you from peace in your life. It just tears at you. And it may be even affecting you physically and emotionally, spiritually. And today you're going to turn to God by faith and get some help from God. Has God spoken to you about some areas of fear in your life? And you say, today I'm going to turn it over to God right now. Right now I'm going to turn it over to Him and allow God to help me by faith to have victory in this area of my life. Is there one like that? You just slip up your hand, hold it for a moment, put it right back down. God has spoken to me about fear and worry in my life, and I want to get it right today. Amen. Has God spoken to you? Will you, by faith, trust Christ to help you with your need? Let's stand together. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. I'm going to have the ladies play. Only trust Him. Only trust Him. If you need to come, spend some time with the Lord, you come. Get in the altar. Tell the Lord about it. If you need to be saved, why not make it today? The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Today. Now is the accepted time. Why don't you come and get it right? By faith, come and trust Christ. Believer, are you doing what God wants you to do? Are you allowing fear to control you? Why don't you come? By faith, tell the Lord, get it right with God just this morning. Amen. You may look this way. We thank you for being here this morning. Be praying for our pastor. Remember, there is reception night after the service. If you raised your hand about bringing homemade ice cream, that is a commitment you have made. Make sure you sign up back there so we can have all that covered. Lord bless you. It's great to have you with us this morning. Lord bless you. We'll see you tonight. You are dismissed.